bit late and change. This is W2TGT, K2BAR, the voice of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. This is the TechNet. TechNet is founded, or was established, to provide an opportunity for any and all licensed radio amateurs, members or not, to come by and exchange ideas and see what might be on their mind, things they've always wanted to know about, things they've always wanted to maybe share with others. You don't have to have a question, you can have a comment, or if you will, a technical topic that you want to raise for the interest of others. This coming weekend is field day, and so I'm sure we all have some hints and kinks we'd like to share. I'd be kind of curious to know what special things you like to do on field day, technical or otherwise. Maybe you can start a tradition in somebody else's, field day process by getting some interest in that kind of thing, whatever that thing is that you like to do. Alrighty. So the way we're going to play this game is we are going to take a roll call. We do the roll call in a very specific way for the TechNet. Basically, we sign in with the call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or none of the above, for the net. Pretty straightforward in that regard. We will, in fact, call by call sign groups, so don't panic too much over that. We'll get around to you, and at the end, we'll even come back to your group or give everybody a chance to sign in, even if they're late. So, with that thought in mind, will stations beginning with Kilo Alpha please call in to the TechNet with call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, or none of the above? Okay. How about just Kilo 2s, the Kilo 2 group? Anybody there? This is K2BAR. Call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above.
Kilo 2 Zulu Oscar, Jim, and have some comments about field day.
James, you will be the first one once we get all squared away. I think that would be appropriate. Actually, I think I'm going to go over this way. I'm actually mobile, but I've got my laptop and the docking station, so I'm kind of all set up for tonight. Alrighty. Tonight I'm operating from a local park. That's what I'm going to do, because I can. Alright. Welcome to you. Any other Kilo 2 stations, please call K2BAR or call sign name, whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above.
Kilo 2 Zulu Charlie, Dave, no questions.
Dave, good evening to you. K2 Zulu Charlie, I like that call sign, by the way. That's pretty cool. Alright, very good. Nice to see you again. Nice to hear you on the net. Alrighty. Any other stations with Kilo 2s, please call K2BAR.
2AMI, Tony, none of the above.
Hey, Tony, so noted. But good evening to you as well. Any other Kilo 2s, please call K2BAR.
K2DSL, portable at the moment, no questions.
David, good evening to you. No problem, eh? And he has a special surprise for us, I think, when he gets back to his home shack. This should be interesting as well. Alrighty. Want to hear more about that puppy. I won't spoil what the surprise is, in case people don't know. Alrighty. Any other Kilo 2s, please call K2BAR.
Hi, Gordon. KO2OK, Bennett. No questions. I think Dave, wasn't through the repeater. I didn't hear the beep. Anyway, back to you.
Turned off. We don't have any beep-bops and bedopes, and the best part about being on Cyclone Lakes is that we don't have any delay, so you can actually listen to yourself talk, since most of you don't have anybody else to listen to you talk, so you can listen to yourselves. I know I have that problem, too. I have children. I know this. They remind me that they don't listen. Anyway. dear me. Don't mind me. All right, any other Kilo stations, just call K2BAR. K2 going to go to Whiskey 2's, or Whiskey Stations, all Whiskey Stations, please call K2BAR.
This is W2JEK, Don.
Hey, Don, W2JEK. Good for you. Do you have any questions, comments, or confusions for the net?
No, I don't.
Very good. Alrighty, any other W2s, or W's, I should say?
WE2R, Charlie, no questions.
Charlie, good to hear you, W2R. This is K2BAR, any other Whiskey Stations with call sign name, whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above, please call K2BAR. Hey, how about November Stations?
K2BAR, this is N2OEL. One small question.
Well, very good, noted. You have a question? Any other November Stations, please call K2BAR.
And that's 2K, Jim, no questions at this point.
Jim, thank you very much. That'll be fine. Alrighty, any other November Stations, please call K2BAR. Ready? Any other Alpha, any Alpha Stations? Any other stations, period, who are late for the net, please call K2BAR. Call sign name, whether or not you have a question or comment for the net. Okay, we have the hardcore. God only knows, you have most of the really hardcore types here. So Jim, I think your announcement's in good order at this time. Unless you want to defer to Noel to allow more people to get on frequency, your choice.
Okay, let's go over to Noel, and then I have some comments just about some of the field antennas and a few other things.
Okay, very good. So, Noel, your question.
As you know, I'm playing with putting antennas up. The question comes for lightning protection, or at least static surge protection. You really can't protect against lightning. So I got myself three different ground rods connected to the central water pipe with 6-gauge wire, so that central water pipe should be reasonably well grounded since they're on three different sides of the house. I got one ground rod near the shack. Of course, it's tied back with 6-gauge wire to the water pipe. I got a 4-gauge strap that I bought at Hamfest that goes around by all the rigs. And Gene said he didn't recommend poly phasers. He said go with the Alpha Delta transient strap. They're much better quality. Now I'm looking on eBay and they have all sorts of gas tubes, lightning arresters. One gentleman in particular is offering for $9.99, supposedly surplus. When I inquired about it, he said, yes, I have them. You want the 35 volt, 90 volt, or the 350 volt? And I had no idea what he's talking about.
Oh, well, well. I'm going to defer to Jim, I think, on this one.
Well, what he's talking about is what power rating do you want? Remember, if you assume a 50-ohm load, you can just use Ohm's law, assuming that the reactances are not in there, and calculate the voltage, okay? You know what the power out is, and then you can figure out, look in the formula, and you can figure out the voltage in the 50-ohm line. So that's the voltage you have coming out. So you don't want to pick a suppressor that has a lower voltage than what you're putting out. For instance, a kilowatt would have something like 350 volts. So you would want to put that one on if you had a kilowatt, okay? But just do the calculation. You know the power, the impedance, calculate the voltage.
The lower one, a rated one, give more protection to like a receiver?
Well, remember, these things are rated in the voltage that they will clamp, okay? If you have a transceiver and you're putting out a lot of, or whatever, you're putting out more power, you can't put a lower voltage rating one because it'll fry the power coming out. That's just what I was explaining to you.
True, but I have a shortwave receiver, and I'm thinking that for the receiver only, I should use the lower voltage one.
Absolutely.
Jim, I have some, devices
that are meant to do the same thing, but they have a frequency versus power rating that varies. Could you explain why that is?
I think it just depends on what the material is. The ones that we used to use in the Gulf were the gas type, and we used to use them on the offshore oil rigs where we had twisted pair coming back from transmitters in the field. And those were the gas type, and they were good for like 5,000 amps, at least one shot. The gas type ones fire the fastest. There are other solid state ones, but this whole idea of choosing those things and the protection you get is a whole science unto itself.
Some people use different kinds in different points in the circuit. Could you explain why that is and where they would most likely be best doing it? Because I've seen what I'll call some vendor agnostic solutions where they use one vendor's stuff at one point in the feed system, another at another, and that's always a bit of a head scratcher to me.
Well, I think in many cases it's because they're using different type of devices. Again, I am no expert on those, but I know there are various different ones. And having been involved in instrumentation in the Gulf Coast area, and every time there was a lightning strike out there on the platform, we lost a lot of stuff. And you shut down a pipeline, you got a lot of people screaming. We were very careful to pick whatever we could use. But the ones that we used the most of were the gas type, and we actually had a number of them in parallel along the hardwired line. But, yeah, I am aware there's a lot of others, and there's a lot of others that have a frequency response because they're solid-state devices, so they have another factor you have to put into them. But, again, no experts.
Why you would have multiple on, in your case, along a twisted pair, or in maybe other people's cases, on a feed line is because at different points in the feed system you want to get the minimum resistance to ground to clamp that voltage.
True, and if you have a big long line that we had, you could get the hit in the middle of it, you know.
And the impedance along that line would be horrendous. Okay, pretty good. Noel, do you have any further questions?
One more comment. When I was at Gene buying my new rig, I said, Gene, I want to protect this full band transceiver, and I want to protect my HF transmitter. The new one is using type N. The HF is using UHF. He sold me two alpha-delta transit traps. They appear to be identical. They have the same model number. One is type N, and one is type UHF, SO239 female, double, of course. The interesting thing is the UHF one is labeled 500 megahertz /2000 watt. So it looks like the identical one with the identical cartridge, except type N is labeled 3 gigahertz 200 watt.
Don't you love it? Well, that means that 3 gigahertz, you can only use it for 200 watts. That doesn't mean you can't. I think it means that you can use it at higher power ratings at lower frequencies, however.
They're two separate packages, and they both have part number ATT3G50. One says UHP, the other one says N after that. And that's the only difference between them, as far as I can tell. They look like everything else. They have the same instruction sheets, except the two little stick-on labels, 500 megahertz, 2,000 watt on the UHF one, and 3 gigs, 200 watt. But it doesn't matter. I'm not going to be at 3 gigs. I'm going to be at 440 at the highest, so I'm fine. Thank you very much. I'm happy. WK2BAR and 2OL.
Hold on. Hold one second. Noel, you just mentioned that they have different suffixes on their part numbers. I would recommend going to the manufacturer's website, downloading each product's data sheet, because I'll bet you're going to find them to be different. Or you'll find graphs and charts that apply to different parts, or there'll be plots on the same charts that will be different for those suffixes. I think you need to look at that very carefully. Okay. Was there another station with a comment? Taking that to be a no. Okay, anybody else want to talk about this subject? Then we can, if not, we'll move on to the next one. K2BAR.
W2JEK with a comment.
Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, keep waiting for the beep. No, I think the best idea with these lightning protectors is to disconnect the antenna from the radio when you're not using them. I had a classic Wyndham on 80 meters. I probably said this a couple of times, and you may have heard it before. This Wyndham was fed with a single wire, and I used to ground it in my upstairs shack to the heater duct when the storm was coming up. One day I grounded it in series with a neon bulb, timing the flash to the bang. Lightning over 2 miles away was firing that neon bulb. So, there's a lot of sparks and stuff out there, and I don't know how much tolerance your front end of your shortwave receiver would have, even to the 35 volts or whatever that was the clamping value on the one unit there. But I would say the safest thing to do is when you're done with all you're doing is to disconnect the antenna. That's my comment. Back to NetW2JK.
Anybody else want to comment?
Check-in.
We'll get to the check-ins in a moment. Anybody else want to comment?
I got a question, WE2R, related somewhat to lightning and stuff.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Well, I have the shack on the second floor now, and before that I sunk a ground rod, just below where I am in the ground, and I thought that was fine. Then I read that all ground should be tied to the main utility ground, which in my case is on the other side of the house. I read that in QST. Is that really so? What happens if I don't? Back to net WE2R.
That's code.
Yeah, that's code. That doesn't mean you have to do it.
Well, does code mean it's a good thing to do, or is it just complying with the code?
Well, it's nice to be complying with the code in case you ever burn your house down.
Good answer. I think I'll do that.
Again, if you apply the logic of that you're not going to attach anything to your equipment during lightning storms, it's really not an issue. But, the point of you might burn your house down, that could apply in any number of circumstances, but, yeah. Alrighty. Do we have any other comments on the subject, and then we'll take check-ins.
Yeah, another quick question.
Hey, Charlie.
If I do tie this ground rod to the other ground rod, which would be, I could do, probably a 30-foot run of wire, would that satisfy the code?
Well, probably. If you have big enough, cabling among them and you properly, connectorize everything, some people like, using that hot shot weld stuff. Other people like just use a good clamp and some anti-corrosive goop, and you're good to go. What I've done is I've laid a series of ground rods on one side of my house, and including the utility grounds, and everything is bonded together. That's how I've done mine. And then that goes up into the shack and provides a 2-inch wide ribbon to the radio equipment. That's what I'm doing in mine. It's also grounded to the tower. What I have not done is bonded to the tower by what I was going to do, and I haven't done it yet, to get some big washers and new bolt kits for the Rhone Tower, and essentially on top of the bolts put a second nut and clamp with washers the ground strap that comes across the back of the house, or side of the house I should say, from each of the ground rods, and then up the tower and into the shack. I have not yet done that. I've just bonded it at the bottom for now, but ultimately my plan is just use the tower as one big huge ground rod extension, or should we say low Z point. I'd like comments on that too from anybody who might have one. Does that answer your question, Charlie?
Yes, thank you. WE2R.
Is a 2-inch insulated piece of tinned braid that I bought at a ham fest somewhere. I don't even know where I got it, but anyway, that's what I use. And I just break it where I need to. I just cut the insulation off and strap it to the ground, and then go to the next one, go to the next one, go to the next one. I haven't made any efforts to seal where it goes into the braid, but under the insulation. But I haven't noticed any corrosion either, so what the heck. Any comments, questions, confusions before we move on? Take chickens? Okay. Just one quick question I have then. K2.0, does that meet, the spirit as well as the letter of common ground for the insurance company?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I just rewired my power in the shack here to provide a separate neutral. So I have basically four wire, like you'd have with a stove, where you want to get 110 volt. Instead of going to the neutral, you really have another one going all the way back. Seems silly, but that's the code. As far as the rest of the house is concerned, I have three 10-foot ground rods around the tower. I have strap coming into the house. Everything is bonded together inside the house, including the water line and the utility ground. And then there is a strap across the meter, the water meter.
Okay. Any other comments?
I just wanted to comment a little bit on field day and what we're doing. Do I have it?
Okay, Jeff.
This is K2ZO. Okay. Believe it or not, this is field day 45. I think I'm setting a record here. Although we'll probably find out there's somebody that did 80 of them. I made an interesting antenna today that I want to try on the GOTA station. We will have a GOTA station. That's a get on the air for the new hams. If you're newly licensed, this is your opportunity to make some HF contacts. We're going to use that on 10 and 15. And I made a V-beam, which is 9/4 wavelength on 15 and, 9/4 wavelengths long on 10 and 7/4 on 15. So basically it's 56 feet on either side, spread at a 40-degree angle or so, and pointed to the southwest. It should give us at least a 3 or 4 dB gain on those frequencies. It's a very interesting antenna, and probably one that anybody could duplicate at his house. So we'll see if it works. So come on down, and that's what we're going to do. And the other antenna that we're going to use, because there's so much static, we're going to use a closed loop, which is a lot safer. And we're going to have a one wavelength loop hung around the light poles for 80 meters. Back in that K2ZO.
Jim, could you describe that first antenna and the frequencies that you intend to use it on? It sounds intriguing. And how high will it be?
We won't be putting it up too high because we don't have the height, but we don't need the height for field day. Remember, cloud warmers are okay on field day because we want to get local contacts. We're not out here to work DX. But this antenna is 56 feet on either side. It is fed with coax and a balun. Just a current type balun. And if you calculate it back, 56 feet will get you a resonant antenna with multiple wavelengths on 10 and also on 15, and that's what we want to use it for. And it could be used as a dipole, but we're going to use it as a V and point the open ends towards the southwest so that we will have some gain in that direction. And that's what we're going to use on the GOTA station, which will be on 10 and 15 meters.
So how high do you expect the antenna to be at the center, and then and what's the angle of the apex you know, between the two wires, not the wires to the ground, but between the two wires?
Between the two wires is going to be about 40 degrees. We're kind of limited as far as those poles up there, so I'm not sure exactly how high we're going to get it up, but I don't expect it to be that high. But I don't think we'll need it up that high.
So you're talking maybe 30 feet or so?
No, those poles aren't even that high.
And how about the low end of the sloper?
Well, theoretically, if you get the center of it up about 40 feet, then you can bring the other ones down to about 10 feet above the ground, which tends to make it a lower angle, which would be the ideal way for it to work. But on field day, well, we just don't have the opportunity to do that. But if you were putting that antenna up at home, that would be it. I think that's going to work out to be a very nice antenna and something that some of the folks here could duplicate very easily. And be it on the East Coast, just point it towards the West Coast.
I may do that too with the scouts, because our whole operation is a GOTA station, essentially. All right, very good. Real quick, before we have comments on this and more discussion on field day, additional check-ins, please call K2BAR with call sign name, whether or not you have a question or comment for the men. Okay, I need Chris. I didn't get the call sign. If you're operating through the repeater, now it's kind of hard to tell. But Chris, good evening to you, KC2TMQ. Welcome aboard. That's excellent. We got you in here. Just curious, did everybody hear Chris?
Yeah, I heard him.
Okay, good. Alrighty. Are there any other stations wishing to check in? Please call K2BAR.
KC2QIM with a question. Over.
Peter, you live! Good to hear you. And no problem, I got you. And real quick, Chris, do you have a question for the vet? Okay, not a problem. Very good. Well, welcome aboard. Any other stations wishing to check in, please call K2BAR. Call sign name, whether or not you have a question or comment for the net.
KA2BDU. Helmut, no question.
KA2BDU, got you. Good evening, Helmut. Who else?
M3CRT, no question.
Good evening, Charles. Actually, Charlie, I'm going to call you on your cell phone after the net. Please be on the lookout for that. Very good, and welcome from the wonders of Sussex County. Any other stations? Pidoke. Well, more field day before we go to Peter's question. Anybody have any questions for Jim on field day? They're talking about field day on their repeater as well right now. It's very funny. Alrighty. Just a reminder about the logistics, Jim or Tony. Why don't we say Tony? Okay, what time are we meeting where to do what on Saturday? K2BAR.
Well, we're meeting at about 8:45 down at the garage to pick up equipment. So if you've got time and you got your truck, come on down. We can use the transportation mode there. The rest of us, some people will be over at the site at about 9 o'clock shooting up some antenna wires, ropes. And then the entourage from the garage will arrive there sometime, I guess around 10 o'clock or so. And we'll start to unload what we have and lay it all out there and start the startup. We are going to start on the air at about 2 p.m. and go for 24 hours. Hopefully, and that's going to be it. So come on down, get everybody gets a chance to operate. We'll even feed you. How about that?
Sounds just great. That sounds great. I'm going to be with between 40 and 60 people, depending on the time of the weekend, doing field day from a local scout camp, so it's going to be pretty wild. I got to load up in the morning and roll up to camp, so it's going to be pretty crazy. Looking forward to it, however. Anybody else have questions for Jim or questions about field day in general, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, Jim, any final words?
Let's not have any lightning.
You got that right. We need the kind of weather we've had the last 2 days, even though we have the same forecast. We need the kind of weather that we got the last 2 days. That'll be fine. We can live with that. That would be outstanding, actually. In fact, the evening weather the last 2 nights has just been outstanding. I think we need to repeat it. Alrighty, with that in mind, anybody have any other questions, comments for the net before we move to Peter's question? Yeah, I'm going to repeat my plea. I'm kind of curious about people's, shall we say, interests and fun and games, what they like to do on field day. What is it they like about field day? I want to get around to that subject, but we're going to let you think about that. And we're going to take Peter's question. KC2QYM, K2BAR. Go ahead, Pete.
K2BAR, KC2QYM, Jim, Gordon, Noel, Helmut, Charlie, good evening. I've been under the radar, I guess, for a while. I've been working strange hours, and my project is turning down. That's why you haven't seen much of me. And I've been having a lot of work done on my house. So that's been keeping me very busy. And as far as field days concerned, I've been off the air on HF because I had to take my wire down because of the construction. And so I've been missing all the HF stuff. And I'm going to try to see if I could sneak into the field day facility during the weekend sometime. I cannot get there in the morning because I've got guys coming to work and then take a look at other things on Saturday. Anyway, to get my question, I came into a PACRA 232 model PK-232MBX. It's an AES device. Now, I have been dabbling slightly using a rig blaster with the software interface of the for PSK-31, etc. I've just, my question is a little scattered. Does anybody still use this PACRAT 232 TNC device? Back to you, Ned. KC2QYM.
Okay, I actually had a visitor here to my ham station, which is kind of amusing. So I didn't hear the question. So can someone answer Peter's question? Good to hear you back on, by the way, Peter.
N3CRT.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, I have the same TNC, and you can either use it as a packet digipeater in the regular mode, or you can put it into KISS mode and use varying software on the computer and just run it that way. Or you can go the complete opposite route and use the rig blaster as a use the sound card as a TNC emulator and forget the hardware TNC. It kind of makes it a little less complex, I think, depending on which way you look at it. So it can be used. I don't know too many people that do use them, and I don't know. I know that the software and upgrades for the thing are kind of expensive. So just using it the way it is now, you can use it in KISS mode. That's where you're sending raw data from the computer to it, and you're not using any of the functions in the TNC, like the mailbox features or whatever. But depending on which way you want to go, that's how you can do it. N3CRT.
Okay, Charlie, thanks. So, do I have it? Yes, I do. Charlie, thanks. Well, here's the thing. I've just started to dabble with the rig blaster, and basically I find that the MMTTY is losing the signal. Let me just pull.
Stand by, guys. Go ahead, guys. Carry on. I need to talk to someone for a few minutes. W2TT2.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm back. I had a problem with the antenna. Hold on.
Go ahead. You've got it.
Okay. So my question is, If I'm just going to use it for a PSK2... I'm sorry, I had to step away, guys. Can someone answer Peter's question?
What off the air?
Having an antenna problem.
I just hate that. Anybody have another question? I'm back, I'm sorry. Do I have it?
Yes, you're hitting the repeater now.
Okay, thank you. So my question is, I have this box, I have the instructions and manual, I have a cable for it and stuff. I already have the software downloaded on my laptop, I have the Rig Blaster, I have the interface capability, actually I use it on my my TSA-20 because I have a 4-pin adapter for that microphone type to that rig. I've tried it with PSK-231, I made a couple of contacts using the computer. I have no problem doing it. I'm not a regular PSK-31 user. The thing is, to me, the PACRAT-232 is older technology, and my thought is that maybe I really don't need to play with it. So my offer is that if anybody wants it, let me know. I wasn't sure if I who I was talking to. I guess I was just making a general comment. My interest in the digital mode is limited, so I really don't want to play with the extra piece of hardware that I have.
Fair, though. You could have it separately on your HF rig, or maybe on a switch for your HF rig, and use it for HF packets.
That's my thought. My thought was basically that it's... you know, it's something that's superfluous to what I'm interested in, and I already have the technology that's software-based, you know, to the hardware interface to the computer, and the TNC is what it is. It's a functional piece of technology, and it's in good shape. It's just that I'm really not in the mode to play with it too much. So my offer is, if anybody wants it, let me know. I'd be happy to pass it along or exchange it for some wire or something. if anybody has any valuable use for it, that's why I asked the question. Over.
Okay. Being that you have all the cables in the original, maybe the box. I have a box for mine, or I used to. And the manual, it might be a good eBay piece if nobody locally is interested. But finding that little cable, that little 4-pin, I think it is, connector, I think it's an Amphenol connector, it's kind of a pain, and I don't know what happened to mine. I've got it here somewhere, but it, as a package, it might be better on eBay, N3CRT.
Okay, Charlie. It's an open offer to anybody if they want it and they want to experiment with it. I really don't feel like playing with it too much. I mean, it was passed to me by one of the older hands that was moving that I'm associated with through the Tenafly Senior Center. They have a little ham radio team or club. Not that I'm a charter member, but I'm sort of like the younger mascot of that group. Tony was actually there helping the group by changing a capacitor in the rotor control for their three-element Yagi. And he did a very good turn for that. I think he got a nice esoteric tube out of the exchange. They had a whole bunch of tubes in the back over there that nobody seemed to be wanting. And Tony went through them, and he picked one of these very weird-looking tubes, some kind of tube. I'm not sure what he got, but if he's on the air, I don't know what he got. He probably remembers what he has. But, so one of the gentlemen from that club passed it over to me. I don't want to talk too much. I could jawbone all I want. I don't want to do that. But I'm looking forward to popping in one day on field day, either the end of Saturday or somewhere in Sunday, just to help out.
This is what the Tuesday night net usually sounds like.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I just wanted to hand it back to Ned. I don't know if everybody's waiting for me. K2's BAR, KC2QIM. Okay, KC2QIM, W2TT. I'm back. All right. So have we solved world hunger? And I apologize, but I'm in a public place, and people who know me jump by, and they don't laugh too hard. They took a kid to go to field day this weekend, literally through the window of my car or truck. So you can't make this up. It was totally a happen system. The guy reached his pocket and says, I was going to run this to you tomorrow or send it with myself, and I'll pay you right now. So it doesn't get any funnier than that. All right. Did we solve your problem, Peter?
Oh, he's off the air again. All right. Charlie, did we solve Peter's problems?
I guess.
Apologize. All righty. So, any new topics, any extra check-ins? Let's do the extra check-ins first. Anybody want to check into the net, please call K2BAR. Okie doke. Next topic, field day. What is it that makes, there's something you like to do on field day, you really look forward to field day, or have looked forward to field day because you can do something in a particular way, or some activity or some element of the activity that you really, really enjoy. And, I was hoping people would get in there and share those with us. So this is K2BAR. Anybody want to comment?
Drink beer and get sunburned.
Well, I'm in a scout camp with you, so I can't do that. So, and I'm sorry, I'd really like a nice wine, chilled, if you don't mind.
Technology demonstration, let's say.
The technology demonstration. Could you give an example of technology that you either would like to demonstrate or saw demonstrated that really moved you? Or that you think you might want to do in the future, or even this year.
Okay, this is M3CRT. Back in, 2002, when I was at school in Texas, I introduced our club to PSK. Yes, PSK is not a new mode. It has been around for a few years, and it was even a couple years old when I got around to trying it, and I homebrewed an interface with an isolation transformer and lines in and out of my computer, and I got it working that way, but it was fun. There's other newer digital modes to play with, a couple that I haven't even tried, and I'm sure that there'll be all sorts of modes active this weekend. There's data modes. There's one called Olivia, which I think it's a multi-tone mode that I haven't played with, but I with the sound card interface like that, it's so easy to play with stuff like that. But if the opportunity presents itself, you get to gather some people around and show them some new modes and let them give them a try. It's a lot of fun. And 3CRT back to net.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Very good. Well, I'm hoping to be able to get my Gizmodi for the Rigmaster connected correctly, I'm hoping that all works. But I'd like to do some PSK31. That might be fun. But we will see. We will see. See what else do we have. Anybody else? Why don't we try that? What other things about field day do we like? So far, technology, sunburn, and beer.
I never got beer at field day.
Did you come around to my tent?
You must have been hiding your stash.
Yeah, let's put it this way. An Irishman in the sun. What are you going to do? You think they drink water?
No, we won't go.
Pearl Tail.
I mean, come on. I mean, there are rules. I mean, water you can get sick on. He's in water, don't you know that?
He can't do it on that.
True. Is that Walter?
KC2QYM.
KGBAR. Is that Walter?
And to GTK.
Morning. Yeah, good afternoon, Gordon.
To you, sir. Do you have any comments?
No, I just turned the radio on, so, and if he can't do it on beer, he can't do it on nothing. Yeah.
That is pretty good. All right. Well, good to hear you. Anybody else have any field day things they would like to discuss?
QIM. I'd like to, do I have it?
Peter.
Okay. I will say that when Jim was describing that antenna, it seems fascinating to me. I'm still interested in wire antennas and different kind of configurations in my limited space. And I'd like to be engaged in helping erect the antenna, but unfortunately, I'm going to be stuck in my house in the morning on Saturday but I'd certainly like to come out and see it and help around the location on some part of Saturday and some part of Sunday. So I will make an appearance, but I can't make any definitive time commitment for any planned activity, and I feel bad about that because last year I had a great time helping out.
Like people who do heavy lifting, sweaty work, and smile and like to do it again, and feel bad that they can't do it again. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. My parents always chalked it up to the honor and glory of God, but you know, then again, or offer it up. You know that routine. Probably Mr. Joyce had, many of us have had similar experiences in our youth. In the meantime, however, I'm really glad you enjoyed doing it, Peter. It's a good thing. I enjoy it as well. Let's see. What else can I drag up? Oh, yes, Charlie, we were talking about something to keep the ends of the towers, you know, like impromptu tower erection from, you know, getting peened over or filled with dirt and other such things. I am going to use a pair of 2x8s, or 2x10s, 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 I guess I'm using, stacked one above the other, and drill holes where the tower legs are, just like you said. And that's how I'm going to do my deal tomorrow when I set up, that way to protect the bottom of the towers. So that's going to be very, very cool. And I'm sure it'll work just fine. I think we're going to try one of those, just a one-to-one Ballon, Mr. K2ZO?
Yep, should work fine.
Excellent day. All right. One question. What happens if you don't use the Ballon? I mean, I realize the currents, I mean, you'll have one lobe that'll be bigger than the other, you know, blah, 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 blah. But is there any crisis to the absence of the Ballon?
Nope. Then you just have to be a little bit careful with your feed line. Just to keep it from radiating, but it's not going to be a big deal.
What if I take 8 or 10 turns, about maybe 6 inches in diameter, or 10 inches in diameter, just by the feed point?
Well, it'll make you a current Ballon, and it'll be fine.
See how easy this is? You just lose, you know, 10 feet of coax, and you're good to go. And you don't have to go out and buy anything more. What we normally do for our antennas, by the way, is, and I'll share this, since we do antennas in a scouting environment. I do it for Radio Merit Badge as well, and various other outdoor activities that involve scouting and ham radio. I have them go find a dry stick about maybe a foot long and about maybe a little thicker than your thumb. And basically they tie clove hitches with each half of the dipole-ish wire on the rope, I mean on the ends of the stick, and then I have them loop some coax over the center part and tie it off with a piece of rope, or usually a small piece of rope just to keep it from unraveling. And we also add a current Ballon, as I just described to Jim and everybody. And then we just, you know, take the ends of the coax, pigtail it out, and twist the wires together. Just twist it together. It's an emergency antenna. And the ends of the wire are secured without egg inflator, and that they're secured with, and it's inflated wire, by the way, but the ends are secured with something as simple as a piece of 550, you know, parachute cord. And away we go. And so you can, on a budget, you get yourself a center inflator from nature, wire, a piece of leftover coax, and some rope, and you are good to go. Build any antenna, any wire antenna you want. Just a little creativity. So that's our little share item for tonight. So anybody else have ideas? K2BAR.
K2AMI.
Go ahead, Tony.
You talked about creativity and ideas. Well, Saturday there on the field day site, we're going to experiment with a piece of equipment that I constructed called an antenna hinge. As you know, if you want to put a tri-bander on the top of a tower, after you assemble the tri-bander flat on the ground, you have to tilt the tower at a particular angle attach the antenna to the mast on the top of the tower. Well, I've designed a unique hinge so that you can lay the tower flat on the ground, lay the antenna flat on the ground, and attach both together. As the tower is elevated, the hinge swings to the correct position, so you end up with a horizontally polarized beam on a vertically erected tower. Something I made out of some scrap aluminum that I picked up over there, Bergenfield scrap metal guy, a couple U-bolts and a few hinges. The first effort to see that it works correctly, but yeah, some people say it's over-designed, but I think it's going to work. So that should be an interesting display. I'm going to try to take some pictures and probably make a YouTube advert, if not make an article with UST. Back to that.
Well, that's great. Yes, that hinge gizmachi of yours is pretty darn awesome, Mr. Tony. And Bergen Metals is a cool place. The price of metals kind of, crazy, but that's okay. Alrighty, any other field day hints, kinks, pleasures, activities, things you look forward to, elements just enjoy, that you enjoy? It's all about field day tonight, K2BAR. Well, I don't get overwhelmed. Alrighty. Well, some of the usual suspects have spoken, and I am a little disappointed that more of you don't have something to say. Five of us had something to say. I can't believe everybody doesn't have something to say about field day. And here's the question. Who hates field day, doesn't want to ever participate? Nobody responded to that question. Therefore, someone has a reason. Everybody here has at least one reason to want to go to field day. I'm kind of curious what that might be.
It's fun.
All right. Any new check-ins, please call K2BAR. Call sign name and whether or not you have a question or comment for the net. All right. Rocking and rolling. All righty. Any other questions for the net, please call K2BAR.
And 3CRT with a question.
Right ahead, Charlie.
Electrical theory question. For feeding power into my ham shack, just regular wall power, if I'm going to use two different breaker into my ham shack, maybe one for one wall, one to the other wall, and if I have compute equipment on one phase and then other stuff on another phase, does it introduce noise or some kind of issues like that? Or should I try to have both breakers on the same phase in the box, which I would have to rearrange a couple breakers to make it work that way? 3CRT.
Really good question. How do you distribute loads, and which kinds of loads, you know, in a split, you know, 220 system, you know, for, shall we say, maximum noise suppression. I mean, certainly you should consider splitting it so that you draw relatively equally from each side. The question is, noise. I don't know the answer. Anybody? You know, Charlie, that might be worth a little bit of experimentation.
Yeah, I guess it would have to be something someone would experience in their shack, and if they ever did anything about it and it made the situation better. But I'm just trying to think of the way I want to lay out my shack and have a wall for test equipment. Maybe it's going to be a 3-inch wall system, about 12 feet on the long walls and about 10 feet on the short wall. And maybe just put in a U-shaped bench all the way around, build something in there, and get it going that way, and we'll see. But just trying to think of ways to keep electrical noise and stuff, especially because I'm a computer guy or whatever, and just minimize the possibility of interference and strange signals.
Wire it to code. Wire it with SK2ZO.
I come into my shack with four wires, four number 10s.
And what are the four digits?
Okay, one, the red and the black are the 220. The green is the ground, and the white is the neutral for the 110. The 220, I have some amps that require 110 and 220, so they have four wire plugs on them. That takes care of that, keeps it to code. Then I split them up, I have 110 volt balanced on either side of that, using the neutral, not the ground.
I don't have a whole. Right now I have a single width, a 110 breaker size available in my box. I was thinking of seeing if I could get a couple of the. I know they make slimmies. They're two breakers in one width, and maybe combining the front bedroom and the back bedroom on halves of the slim breaker to free up another spot. Maybe run a 30 or a 40 amp 220 over to a sub panel inside my shack, and then split it from there. But I don't know if I'll ever have an amp. I should probably provision for it just in the future. But due to this postage stamp a lot here in Opakon. I don't know if I'll ever get to that, but I'm thinking of doing it that way. N3CRT.
That's why I do it, a separate sub-panel in a shack. There's one panel here that you hit it and kills everything in a shack.
Oh, I didn't quite do that. I wished I had, but I didn't quite do that. Mine's across the third floor, but it's not in the shack. Let me just describe mine. Couple of things. Number one, I have a wire mold, I think, with 14 outlets on it. Is that, no, it's 10 outlets. 10 outlets on it. And they're on two separate circuits, but like Jim was describing, they're on either phase of the 220 split. And that's kind of cool. And that's wired in the four-wire mode you were talking about, Jim, which is kind of neat, where the neutral is opposed to the ground. And it's got a ground for the housing of the wire mold, but that's about all. And then there are two 220 outlets, 20 amps apiece, wired all the way back to the panel, neither of which I'm using right now, I'm embarrassed to say. There's a 110 circuit that's on one side of the room, or another 110 circuit on the other side of the room, on the wall outlets. And oddly enough, there's one more 110 outlet that comes through the wall to just give me one outlet that's not anything. It's shared with my son's room on the other side. But in case I had to kill all power for normal things in the room, it's got essentially a third, or if you will, a fifth 110 circuit I can tap into. Everything's wired the 110 circuits are wired that with 12 gauge, or number 10, or number 12, I should say, number 12, and they're 20 amp circuits, and that's kind of cool. Lighting is totally separate on a separate power system as well, and just for your reference, Charlie, the outlet that's on the driveway wall of my shack, you've been in my shack, that's where I keep all the digital garbage. Printers, routers, the Verizon stuff, everything stays on that wall. The computers go on the short wall, and then the RF stuff goes on the back, on the interior wall of the shack where everything is bonded together. That's how I do it.
Okay, yeah, well, I have a basement light circuit for a couple of the lights that are in the basement, and I might run another 12 to run off that for just ham shack lighting and a separate switch. And then, Jim said, do the sub-panel thing. I can free up enough space to split it out, but then my box is full. And, pending a big rearrangement or a larger panel, I'll be full. So, thanks for the ideas. N3CRT.
Hello. Very good. One other thing I can suggest. In addition to the mandatory, at the entryway of a room, you have to have a light switch that turns on something. I would put at your operating position, your main operating position, some sort of lighting system that you can dim. And over the work surfaces, in case your case you have two or three work surfaces, you might consider actually splitting that up. But I used the low voltage lights for that purpose and put them on a dimmer, and oh, is that so cool, because there are times I need just crazy amounts of light, other times I need just a minimal amount. One other thing to consider, you cannot, if you don't have access to the rear of your benches because they're on walls, don't forget to make your benches deep. Make them a lot deeper than you think. My one bench, as you know, is 44 inches deep. I ripped 4 inches off of a 4x8, and I wish I could find a 4x10. They do make them, but I didn't do that. And I urethane the death out of that desk, and boy, that was a smart decision. So just consider that as well. Any other comments, questions, confusions, please call K2BAR. Well, if we have nothing else, I'm going to consider wrapping up the net. Anybody have any last items? Tony or Jim, either one of you want to make a quick comment about field day?
No, except that we'll invite everybody down, and if you haven't been operating, if you're a new ham, we'll give you an opportunity. It's a great opportunity to increase your CW skills. Sit there and log for a while, and you will be amazed at how much your CW ability will go up.
As I am, Exhibit A, in my world anyway, of that. Jerry and Dory sat me down one year over at the college. I think we were still in the college. Yeah, we were. And I sat in a little trailer on a Sunday morning working 20 CW. And if I wasn't typing on a keyboard with CT, I was using a straight key. So it would, because the two were wired in parallel, so it was awesome. So I could either do the automatic thing, or if I got a little freaked out, I could do the manual thing with a straight key, and I was happy boy. Happy, happy, happy. So, alrighty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, have a happy field day. I want to thank the Bergen County FM Association for the use of their repeater tonight. It's particularly lovely. It's the new repeater, guys, by the way, but the one in Franklin Lakes. And it's got no delay. They can put the beep back on. That's no big deal, but there's no delay, so you can actually get side tone. It's great. I really enjoyed using it. Any case, hope everybody has a good night, and happy field day, and we'll see you next week on either Jim's net at 9 o'clock on Monday on 28350, Tuesday on 444, I think, 100, or 443, 100, at 9 o'clock for the 440 chat net, also kit night. No, there's no kit night, is there? Jim, is there a kit night next week?
Negative. I think the next one will be in July, the 8th.
Very good. All right. And then last but not least, we have the chat net here on 7-9 on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock as well. And then we're back to Thursdays, and here we go again. So anyway, Godspeed all, happy field day, good DX, and above all, just have a great time. Enjoy the friendship and fellowship that Ham Radio provides us. This is K2BAR. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association, W2TTT is your operator, Gordon, 673, and thank you very much for a wonderful net tonight. Net is closed, and the repeater is back to normal amateur use.